It's the Petrosen Money Show. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
AM 570 LA Sports.
I want to hear it, man. I'm desperate to hear it.
This is the Petrosen Money Show.
Best case scenario.
Mad Money Smith.
Worst case scenario.
Petros Papadakis.
What am I doing here? I'm humiliated.
Available on the iHeartRadio app.
Now online at am570lasports.com.
This is Petrosen Money.
Mic's on. We're ready to go. Solo the fan. New York Sports Radio.
Mic's on.
Mic's on.
You'll get to the sports
any way that you can.
It's Mike Francesa.
On the fan.
Long it out, Vic.
Yeah.
Petros and Money.
My man, you aren't the fan, you dumbass.
Yeah, we are.
We are right now.
We got 2 hours.
2 hours of great sports talk, and then happy trails for Thanksgiving.
The office is empty.
And soon, the studio will be as well.
We're here till 4.
Sure. And Ronnie will be in the house.
Sure.
Sure we are. And Tim Cates is here, and we're very thankful for Ronnie Fascio, the chairman of the board.
Where the hell's Bruin Talk at? People want Bruin Talk.
Bruin
Talk
cut you out, man.
Got chopped like a Filipino orphan on the table of Tim Tebow's circumcisioning.
We had to get those sweet highlights from last night in.
You got chopped, Cates.
In 2019.
There's a little calamari ring on the floor that used to be Bruin Talk, and now it's Matt and I, the big juggernaut known as the Petros and Money Show. On this, we just won't be defeated. What am I going to do with this guy? What happened to Bruin Talk, Cates?
What happened to this guy?
Wednesday.
Exactly right.
And we
now, if Cates was doing Bruin Talk, we wouldn't be on the air till 2:30.
No.
We'd be sitting.
That'd be a travesty.
Still doing. Instead, we just did like a 4-minute pre-show pod, which
we
is
did
available.
It. We did one, yeah. And I said the S word.
Yeah.
Like Colin Cowherd on Twitter.
Yeah, man. I'm edgy, too. I'm not just. Hey, can we address.
You got options in S.
Can we address something real quick? And look, all of this stuff is coming up.
James Worthy's joining us at 3:30.
Matt and his turkey recipe.
An hour from now.
And the public shaming of people who go out to
back
high
end of this hour.
Local high school reunion type bar events. All of that is happening. We're going to have all of that today. And we will discuss Manhattan Beach coming up in defense to save Clay Helton's life.
What an embarrassment.
At USC.
You know he's going to be fine, right? You know he's got $20 million guaranteed to do nothing. He doesn't have to coach again. And when he does, that money will be offset and USC won't have to pay it all. But you don't need to protect him. He's
there will
good.
Be a time.
He is good.
There will be a time to address it. And I'm not here to disparage other Fox talent or any other talent, Matt.
I mean, Troy Aikman does. I figure if...
Truly.
I mean, if the face and voice of football on Fox can do it, why can't we?
Well, that's what sets him apart.
You know, I figured there. They would be like, hey, you idiots, do whatever you want.
Yeah, or you...
I'm just following
Aikman's lead, you know?
Right?
But look, we're a famous show, and could you find the voicemail, Cates? We are a famous show for one reason or another, but one of the more interesting threads of conversation in the show in the last few months has been the Clippers' public relations and how we are treated. And we are treated like old, dried-up dog crap on the side of the road in Hemet by Clipper PR.
That is some dry crap.
Hemet sucks, too.
I'm all right with Hemet.
We appreciate all our listeners in Hemet.
Certainly do.
In the summertime.
But if you want to be a piece of dried dog crap, obviously there are more desirable locales than Hemet. The point is, we're treated very poorly by Clipper PR.
They don't care about us.
And
they don't give a good goddamn about us.
Some people say it's because I called Fontana Fontucky at an LA Sports Awards years ago and Gillian Zucker's not over it. Some people say it's because Matt played a private voicemail on our air and it has now become
belong to the head of PR.
Sort of a staple of the show.
Shared it.
That could be a reason.
Chris keeps getting his name put out there.
Chris.
For not doing his job and leaving two chairs for Rogan and Rodney. By the way, he never asked for one for Jason Stewart.
No, he didn't.
He was just like, I want one. Rodney wants one. To hell with our producer.
Well, we all know Fred and Jason didn't get along very well at all.
There is that.
Can you play the message? Well, unless you get Fred like 10 guests an hour, he ain't having it.
Hey, Chris. Hey, it's Fred Rogan.
Hey.
I'm the sports guy at Channel 4, and I also work at KLAC with Rodney Pete.
We do the midday show. We saw you set a lot of chairs over here today to the producers, to Petros, to producers. Money. I think Big Boy got a chair.
We didn't get any chairs.
We didn't get any chairs. And we're on the radio station.
Chris.
So I'm going to talk about that today.
Like
the minute we go on air at noon. So please be listening, because I'm going to give you a special shout-out. You have a good day.
Love it. And now the Clippers have just leapfrogged everybody locally and have sent every national person these Clipper Los Angeles
City Edition
Mr. Cartoon Design jerseys.
And they're all flexing out, looking all weird.
Well, the Skip Bayless one is
terrifying.
It's unacceptable.
It's terrifying.
It's unacceptable. Skip Bayless is in the jersey,
flexing in a tank
tight,
top.
Flexing like he's literally like he's freaking Lee Haney. Flexing.
It's Mr. Olympia. Greased, I'm just oiled up.
Greased up.
I'm in front of Flex Wheeler.
It's unbelievable. It is an absolute travesty. And I just want to say, hey, Clippers, you could take those jerseys that you weren't going to send us and not send them.
Exactly right. Now, Cates took the opposite approach.
Yeah, he asked
he
for
He tried
one.
To shame them
he, Fred
on
Rogan
Twitter
them.
And said...
Chris.
And he parodied the Fred Rogan voicemail. Very clever. No response.
Nothing. Crickets.
I would say Mike Francesa, who, by the way, is not syndicated. He is just on The Fan.
And
New York Sports Radio and is retiring.
Sleeps 20 hours a day. Literally.
Including the 4 hours on his show. He is more likely to get a Los Angeles Clippers City Edition jersey than we are. Because, as Pat O'Brien once told us, listen, you have to do it local radio. Local radio. You think you're hot ass and you're doing local radio? Nobody cares. Nobody cares about local radio. And apparently the Clippers don't care about local radio.
No, Matt.
They are not playing to L.A. when it comes to radio personality.
Skip Bayless in that jersey flexing out. He might as well have just been hitting me in the face with his dong.
Holy crap, that is Skip Bayless in the picture.
Who did you think it was? Some old
freak?
What did
you think that was?
I had to zoom in on the face. Looked like a 25-year-old with long and shaggy hair.
No, he looks like the old dude in the sports page that takes the HGH.
Oh, my
He looks
gosh.
Like Joe Weider's skinny son.
I didn't even recognize
yeah,
him.
Yeah, he's got a big freak, old horse dude. Face.
Wow.
He does.
So coming up next, we'll talk SC.
Right.
Then we'll shame the people.
It's going to be a very positive show then going into Thanksgiving.
Turkey recipe. Celebration with James Worthy. Dead and Alive Guy birthday of the day. Don't forget to come see
Good
us
show.
On Monday at the BJ's, Matt.
We'll be at the Outlets at Orange, right off the 22 at the City Drive, giving away a whole bunch of stuff, including that grand prize trip for two to the Algredo Vineyard Resort in Paso Robles Wine Country. That's right. So 2 to 5:15 Monday, come see us. Outlets at Orange, BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse, right off the 22 at City Drive.
And here's Ronnie with the song of the day.
Yeah.
This is the song of the day.
Ta-da.
A special song of the day today, Little Birdie is our song of the day from the 1973 animated TV special A Charlie Brown Thanksgiving. Written, performed, and sung by the great jazz musician Vince Guaraldi. A rare opportunity to hear the voice of the maestro. The perfect time to spin this cool jazz tune on the afternoon before Thanksgiving, as great sports talk is on a back-to-back flex alert with the Clippers on a back-to-back Rhodium Memphis against the Grizz. And Adam Oslin will get it going for you with Clippers Countdown coming up at the top of the 4 o'clock hour. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you, Ronnie. When we return, rumors abound. Many a piece written, many of folks weighing in on Twitter about the future of Clay Helton and perhaps the condition being static over at USC. That's next.
Don't worry like you do.
Petros and Money on AM570 LA Sports. We are, as we keep saying, at least I do, the meat of that sandwich. It's a basketball sandwich.
I don't
sandwich,
like to take your sandwich.
And we're like a pimento loaf or
you know,
a bologna.
That's always been your thing, Matt. Long before I came here, you
right
always
in the middle.
You always, your scheduling, when you talk about the scheduling of shows.
I like being the meat of the sandwich.
And, you know, technically, we could always be the meat of the sandwich. It's just sometimes the bread is not as desirable.
Exactly right.
You know, most of the time, the bread is Rogan and Rodney bread.
This is desirable bread. I mean, this is desirable play-by-play bread.
It's all subjective, but you've always talked about the sandwich, and I respect it. I just try to leave the sandwich to you. I got no problem with it.
UCLA, they hung in there. They hung in there at the start with Michigan State, ended up losing, and following us, we'll be off at 4 o'clock, tip off at 5, Clips v. Memphis.
The Panera bread on the other side.
Exactly right. Clips v. Grizzlies, I should say, in Memphis. So Adam Austin going to be along at 4 p.m.
And we have all kinds of football. Tomorrow on Thanksgiving, starting at 9:30, three games, Bears, Lions. You'll be there with your wife. Bills, Cowboys. You might give it to her between games.
I was just thinking triple up with the football.
Saints, Falcons. Oh, I thought you were going to give her three good ones.
Hey, babe, let's blow this Thanksgiving dinner and get to the bathroom.
Have sex with you, wife. And then there's UCLA football versus Cal this Saturday night at the Rose Bowl.
I feel alive with all this turkey in my belly.
Tim Cates will be in Lot H fighting the tryptophan. Chargers in Denver on Sunday. And then the big one, Matt and I live at BJ's Restaurant and House of Brews in the city of Orange, 2 to 5:15 on Monday. That's the biggest event going on leading into the month of December. Book it, you a-hole. We'll be there. And know this, Cates, and know this well. Because this should not go unchecked. Matt's turkey recipe is coming up in an hour.
And in the very next segment, I believe we have a PSA.
I'll do it. I'm getting old, though, Matt.
But here's my problem. This is the problem. Too many people have co-opted it. That's my problem with it. Much like The Bachelor Report, too many people have co-opted it. And you could let it go and say, I'm getting too old. But far too many people have co-opted the recognizing it's time to go out and try to hook up with some chick you knew in high school on Wednesday night. And I don't like it.
I have to keep it going.
You got to keep it going.
It's so, like if I'm UB40, but there's another UB40 out there singing Red, Red Wine. And I'm like, I don't want to sing Red, Red Wine. They're like, you got to do it. Your a-hole brother's doing it on tour in freaking Akron.
Exactly right. So we got to keep it going.
All right. Okay.
And nobody does it better.
Fair enough. But we do have to discuss this, Matt.
Well, it's something. The seeds were planted, I believe, last week or maybe 2 weeks ago. There started to be some people saying, well, you know.
Well, look.
I mean, it's not out the realm of possibility. $20 million buyout.
Let me talk about it.
Bruce Feldman blew the top off this at The Athletic with his story that thankfully, God, thank you. Thank you so much, Colin Cowherd, for tweeting out, quote tweeting, I'm hearing the same thing, Bruce. Great article.
That USC is going to keep Clay Helton. It was Pete Thamel that wrote the article saying that USC has a decision to make. They'll be at the crossroads, appropriately, because of Bone.
I'll see you at the crossroads.
See you at the Bone. And Mike Bone might keep Clay Helton, or he'll have to give up $20 million and hire a new guy for a lot more money if he gets rid of Clay Helton. Of course, USC then performed very well against what is a much maligned UCLA defense. And the seeds have turned into a large tree growing out of the Manhattan Beach area with Bruce Feldman, Manhattan Beach resident, Clay Helton, South Bay resident, Colin Cowherd, Manhattan Beach resident, my friend that owns a restaurant.
Manhattan Beach resident.
Maybe Hermosa, but yes, close enough. South Bay. So there's a tsunami rising in the South Bay of rumors saying USC is going to keep Clay Helton. I saw Ryan Abraham, Manhattan Beach resident, the website guy, saying USC is going to keep Clay Helton. It's all of these stories have been met with an incredible amount of public pushback, Matt. But we saw Herb Street go to a mat on a game that wasn't even a USC game.
Oregon ASU.
Talking about how Clay Helton needs to be kept.
Let's celebrate Clay Helton and his 8-4 USC team following a 5-7 team. What am I missing? Like, what am I missing? And Feldman's article was all, and we love Bruce Feldman, and all he's doing is reporting.
It's and we not love like Sam Farmer.
Exactly. But he writes, Mike Bone sees Clay Helton as a decent, genuine man and has been impressed with him since his arrival. What What don't I? I don't know anything about football, but I know that you can't go 5-7 and then 8-4 at USC and get humiliated by Oregon in the Coliseum and have it half full for USC UCLA.
That's not true. You don't travel with a football team and call football games for about a decade now and not know anything about football. It's impossible. It's like being in the ocean.
Why are they running that way?
And not learning anything about the sea. But there's a couple of ways that I can answer this, Matt. Which would you like us to start with?
We need them all.
Okay, do you want us to talk about why Herb Street, why Levy, and Brian Gracie going to the mat and just pounding on the mat WWE style for
Clay? Why do you want to stick your neck out for this guy? What has he done to encourage you to do that? Like, hey, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to stick my neck out for that guy.
You may have learned this over the years, broadcasting, and I certainly have, is you're not really sticking your neck out when you say, hey, this guy's a great guy. You got to keep this guy because then you're on to the next. Because I remember Bruce Feldman on this show a month ago saying they must move on. It is too negative. You asked him, is there any scenario in which USC keeps Clay Helton? And he said, no. There's just so much change and it's just time and Clay Helton's a good guy. And now here comes a different story. All these people blow with the wind and most of them, and you and I included to a certain degree, not really held accountable very, very much, at least not much, for what you said 3 weeks ago.
Now they move on.
Yeah. If USC fires Clay Helton and hires Matt Rhule, Kirk Herbstreit, great. This is great. If they do.
Didn't think they'd be able to get him.
Yeah. Fire Clay Helton, hire Urban Meyer. Now this is the moment. I mean, all these guys are going to have a new take, a new article, a brand new feature on that guy. So I don't put a lot of stock into that. I put it like there are people, and this is what ties in with it, at USC with access to the media who would be quite beneficial to them if Clay Helton stayed in place. And that's where you get your Herb Street's message, Levy's message, national media guys that'll go to bat for you because they owe you a favor, because if Clay Helton stays in place, you stay in place. And that's how I read that, if it makes any sense.
Makes sense. And it's very similar to Washington. Washington does not like change. You're the old drain, the swamp, and then you look in the swamp, you're like, yeah, same people.
Yes,
they're running Washington, same thing at USC. Yes, you change university
president.
The swamp
fights back against you, Matt. The swamp will rise up.
You can change AD, but there's so many people there that those are just two people you may know. There's hundreds of others that will not allow dramatic change. I guess my one major issue, or I guess my, I shouldn't say issue, my one big question would be, is this the SC that we remember where they don't take big swings because they don't want to be rejected? That if they have done their due diligence and they've sniffed around Rhule and Urban and Matt Campbell and James Franklin and they're like, those guys ain't ready to leave for this place. We're just going to have to wait a year. So let's just kind of put this out there because
You think USC can wait a year? I mean, you
No, I don't.
You don't,
I don't
right.
So that's what I'm wondering.
No,
if their
I don't
guy
think that factors
not,
in.
They can't get their guy.
What I actually think, and I was just answering the media side of it, right, like why there's been like a swell out in the South Bay.
Everybody's fighting to get their fingers in this one.
Out there at Turbo's, you see that swell to protect.
I heard that too.
Yeah, to protect Clay Helton. I mean, that's just one side of it. What I think, and I love the fact that it's just a guess for me, because I don't know bone, the thuggish, ruggish, bone. I don't know him. And I don't know Carol Folt. I know the people that are working to save Clay Helton's ass. I know those people. But I don't really know what they're going to do.
He should have been fired when they were 3-3.
That's what they just don't want to fire somebody in the middle of the season. But now you have this early recruiting
date. Issue.
We talked about it, though. I mean, we talked about their timing. They have to wait to see what happens with Colorado because you can't go into the Pac-12 championship game having just fired your coach. So they're in a bit of a sticky situation. We expect Utah to take care of business. But I think overall, the overarching thing is, I think they've made a decision. I think when you read all these quotes from Bone about none of them are really Clay Helton's our guy, there's no real confidence.
He's a good, decent man.
Yeah, and that's all fine. That's all good window dressing for Clay Helton's next job, whether it be Memphis or UNLV or something like that. I have no idea, but if I had to guess, I think their decision has already been made, and they're already, as you described, like a beagle sniffing around the crotches of the Rhules, the Campbells, maybe Urban Meyer, maybe Franklin, even though those guys come with various amounts of baggage. I think they're I think they're in that process, I would imagine. I can't imagine them. And if they do keep Clay Helton, then I think that's a very clear message to the USC fan base, to the Pac-12, to college football as a whole, what USC is going to be in the future, and you better find another bell cow on the West Coast. I guess it's Oregon, or
now here,
you hope Washington improves.
My second question would be, is going back to what Joel Klatt said when he joined us and gave his opinion of Mike Bone. When he said, A, I wouldn't want to work for that guy, and B...
Well, Joel used to really get, I mean, to be fair to both men,
Joel used to
get really down and dirty, sleeves rolled up in the Colorado athletic department. And as a young broadcaster, he did not like a lot of the things that were going on there. And he would have, like, you know, verbal altercations with the coach, like with Hawkins. So, you know, I mean, he was really down and dirty in it, whatever that means. And I thought he did a good job qualifying it.
So... I guess what...
But at least we know Bone knows how to fire people.
Right, well, that's the thing. So he said, hey, look, you don't get to hire three different guys that get fired and be celebrated as some sort of great AD. That's not how it works. You've got to find the guy that builds your program and makes them relevant. And between Coach Mack, who was fired after he left, who else? He had Embo, who was fired.
Embry didn't work.
And yeah. he fired Hawkins.
He fired Gary Barnett, which infuriated Joel. And, I like Gary Barnett, but they probably hired Bone to fire Barnett, just like they probably hired Bone to fire Clay. So he fired Barnett. He hired Dan Hawkins. Hawkins failed.
Intramurals, brother.
Played his son.
Brutal.
It was a big mess. Then he hired Embry, who was like a Carl Durrell type of hire, good feel-good hire. He knows Colorado, this and that. He got fired.
Recruited, couldn't coach.
Got fired. Fired McIntyre. Hired McIntyre. Who made it to
Looked
the Pac?
Like they maybe turned it around.
Won the Pac-12 South one year. I mean, so he did kind of climb the mountain, so to speak. You know, so it's not all.
So maybe he doesn't want to make the hire unless he can get, again, that guy. Like, hey, you don't get many cracks at this. So if I got to wait a year,
I mean, that's
I save these guys $6 million in the process by saying just give me 1 year.
That might be a good reason, but. Should USC worry about saving $6 million or saving West Coast football? Do you think USC?
To me, that's the answer. I just don't get it. I don't get how you go into another year where you are not relevant in the national championship conversation with Ohio State, Alabama, Clemson, now LSU, where your interim coach that apparently wasn't good enough to run a program has recruited, has brought in grad transfers, has assistant coaches that are being talked about for NFL head coaching jobs. Like, how? It doesn't make any sense.
And you have this vocal minority in the media that are trying to save Clay Helton's bacon again, and this overwhelming negativity on the outside. It really is an amazing situation. But I don't see the swell of we're going to keep Clay from Manhattan Beach having actually much impact on the shore. I think it's just out there. Looming.
Once Utah throttles Colorado, yeah, and goes to the championship game and USC's season is over, save a mid-tier bowl game.
Yeah, I think they've made their decision. But I could be very wrong. And if they do choose to keep Clay Helton for any of those reasons you mentioned, Matt, or any of the reasons that Bruce mentioned or that Colin Cowherd heard.
I heard the same stuff, Bruce. Great insight.
Then I think that's a pretty clear message to everybody in college football.
The one thing that also drives me badass crazy that I will pose to you is, well, yeah, Clay's the one that found Keaton Slovis.
Okay.
No, he didn't. He signs off on bringing Slovis in, but you had, and I wanted to make sure I had it right, Brian Ellis found Keaton Slovis.
That's right. That's the only thing Brian Ellis ever did.
And said,
for the
I'm out
program.
Here. I saw this quarterback. He's unbelievable. We should offer.
And he was a Clay Helton flunky from Tyson Helton's days. So he's really Tyson Helton's flunky who went back to Western Kentucky.
So it's not like the way that it's painted.
Oh, and they'll paint anything.
You know, Clay Helton's the guy that saw Keaton out there. He was in the rain. And Keaton's like, I don't want to do it. I was like, you're going to do it. And then he offered him in Arizona. No, it was two assistants that found the guy and said, hey, we think we got something here. You want to offer him? Yeah, sure. Golly shucks. Let's do it.
I have two ways to answer that one, golly shucks. Number one is Mark Helfrich found Marcus Mariota, made Chip Kelly recruit him, made him offer him. Guy won the only Heisman in the history of the University of Oregon. How much of that helped Mark Helfrich when his head was on the chopping block?
Not much. Not much. Not much. Not much.
You know, Clay found Darnold, and Clay found Keaton Slovis. No, he didn't. No, he didn't.
Yeah, whatever.
Right.
Okay.
They're 8-4. They were 5-7 last year.
Way to go.
They're not Alabama. They're not Clemson. They're not Ohio State. That's what they're not. And that's what they should be. Inexcusable. He's such a good, decent man.
Yeah, that's great. If that's the criteria for the USC football coach, then throw out John McKay, because he was not that cool of a guy. All right? I mean, he is probably the greatest coach in the history of USC. Throw out Pete Carroll. I mean, he is a cutthroat dude who is nothing like he seems when he's on TV, bouncing up and down and snapping his fingers and bobbling his head like a bobblehead.
Sexy grandpa here.
Taking off
his
shirt and trying to flex out on him. Yeah, being a good guy is not enough at SC. If it was, put up a lifetime contract, Joker face. But my guess is that it's all BS, Matt. It's all BS coming out of Manhattan Beach.
Week from now, Utah's in the championship game. December 18th is the early signing period. They got to get their new head coach. Everybody's season is over, and they go pluck somebody.
And you might have to wear that recruiting class. You just might have to wear it. That's the other dumbest thing you ever hear. You heard it with the Sark period, and you heard it before that with Kiffin. You can't get rid of this guy. Look at the class he has signed up.
Yeah, and so this year,
Clay's
got a terrible recruiting class. It's ranked like 75th or something.
Recruits don't mean anything. He's recruiting. You know what? You know what? Dumbass FNA said to me today. Well, he's recruiting to the air raid. You know, he's not recruiting for the. And I'm just like, you know what? I can't.
Who told you that? Who told you
Adam?
Read
that?
Who told you? Where'd you read it? Because that's the dumbest thing you could ever say at USC in Southern California. With all the talent here, you now have to recruit to a system?
I'll buy it for Chip Kelly's team, all right?
Jeez.
I ain't taking that ass when it comes to
that. That's important, Bruce. It's what I'm hearing, too. I want in.
That's worse than the where he sweared about Daddy on Twitter.
Oh, God.
That was a worse tweet, though.
No, I think he did it again. I think over the weekend he dropped another S-bomb. Like, hey, check me out. During the NFL games, was it the Lamar Jackson? I think it was Monday. It was Lamar ripping up the Rams, and he dropped an S-bomb. Yeah, cool, man. We're terrible.
F those people.
Exactly.
F them and their ball licking. I'm tired of the licking of the sacks.
Stop licking balls.
Stop licking sack.
Enjoy your turkey. Recipe's coming up. Stay out of the bars. Message is coming up next.
Yeah.
Petros and Money, we're off the air in just over an hour. It'll be a 4 p.m. pre for Adam Austin and the Clippers looking to extend their win streak after knocking off Dallas last night. They will take on the Grizzlies in Memphis. Tip off at 5 p.m. And we got football all day tomorrow. Triple header. Bears, Lions, Bills, Cowboys, and Saints, Falcons this Saturday. UCLA, Cal, Tim Cates out live in Lot H starting at 5 p.m.
I'm coming.
At 7:30. Golf cart. You getting a golf cart, Cates, with that busted up leg of yours? You got to hobble it all the way over.
I got to hobble.
Pig leg it.
Yeah. Woo. No respect. No respect.
No respect. Disrespect in all aspects.
No Bruin basketball post game today either. No respect.
Oh, you got cut the ball.
No respect.
My man, you ain't making that.
I signed off on it, okay?
Oh, you did?
I did. I said, okay, boss.
Is that right?
If you want to do that,
wait a minute. When boss said, hey, you don't have to sit around for an hour and listen to that idiot and then come on and take like two calls and do 34 minutes and no commercial.
Two calls?
And take one call.
Zero.
One call?
Zero calls. Zero breaks.
And zero breaks.
I've done an hour of post-game Bruin talks in the last 2 days. Zero calls.
Mick Cronin's going to get it going, okay? Mm-hmm. It's just going to take a minute. It's just going to take a minute.
We're your Mick Cronin show record.
It's just going to take a minute. The Chargers are in Denver on Sunday taking on the Broncos. Kickoff at 1:25 p.m. And quickly remember, we are at BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse in Orange. We would love to see you 2 to 5:15 on Monday for Monday Night Football. We'll have a whole mess of prizes to give away, including a grand prize of a two-night stay at the El Greto Vineyard Resort in Wine Country, Paso Robles.
All right, play the intro.
It's the Petros Papadakis annual Thanksgiving public service announcement.
Back in town, Thanksgiving weekend, can't wait to get together with the bros.
They said.
What you think is a good idea really isn't.
Damn, I knew this was a bad idea.
I can't believe I'm home for Thanksgiving. I can't wait to go out with all my girlfriends and get drunk.
So before you make the biggest mistake of your life, let Petros talk some sense into you.
Here we go.
All right, play the music. Now, here's the deal. Over the years on the Petros and Money Show before the Thanksgiving holiday on Wednesday, Matt always does his turkey recipe, and I've always done this. And I always did this even before when I was on the Korean station. And I feel like over the years on our show, Matt's turkey recipe has become a bigger deal because we're older people with kids. You like sit around a table and you're sophisticated.
We've gotten out of the bars and into the kitchen.
And this is a little bit more of a message for other people.
Because we do appeal to the young.
Yeah. But if you're a man of our age,
do we have any business doling out advice to the 19?
The answer is no.
21-year-olds. Yeah.
But if you're a man of our age and this is a message that resonates with you, then you really need you probably are going to need a little bit more than a spa weekend to figure things out.
I think there's a fair enough amount of people that are north of 30 that are still doing it, though.
North of 30, but we're north of 40.
Right. But still, if you're north of 30 and this is still something 10 years later that you're doing.
Now, here's my point. Olivia, PMS, or no, excuse me, Petro Media intern, is a junior in college, I think, now, or a soph. She's a junior.
Junior.
They're having a party in the neighborhood. Many of them aren't 21 yet. They're still in college.
They're white clawing it up right now.
Yeah, you know, there are no laws when you're drinking claws in the Valmonte neighborhood.
Seltzer. Come on.
But, okay, you're still in college. You're still in school. Okay? But when college is over, or if you ain't in school no more, or you're in the AIDS when college is over.
It's a good rule.
The music's over. Turn out the lights. Stop doing this. Now, most people know.
What are we doing?
Wednesday night is the night that people try to go out and capture some of that feeling. That feeling you had as a young person in high school when the world was like a tongue unfurled out of a clown mouth at a carnival. And you didn't know what was going to happen next. Sadly, Matt and I, and Kate, and poor Ronnie with his hand tattoo, we all know what happens next. Disappointment, age,
that's the truth.
Heartbreak, pain, lack of self-esteem.
There's a lot more downside than upside.
Erectile dysfunction.
Oh, God.
Blow your ankle at your boot camp with the other white people in Burbank.
Gopher got me.
Life is hard. And you ain't going to feel the same way that you used to feel when you see the people from high school on a Wednesday night.
Life has also not been kind to over the years.
At your local bar. Think about your life. And what you go through and what you struggle with and what you watch on the computer when you touch yourself.
Whoa.
Because it's hard.
You think about that. And then you think about why you're out at the bars. And as Matt put, it's the same reason all those other people are out. And they're pathetic, just like you. Here's the other thing I like to remind people of when they want to go back to see their friends from high school and recapture some of the glory. Hennessy's and Redondo.
Oh, they're right now at this moment. Oh. They got off work at 1. They are pounding the steering wheel because traffic sucks so bad and they are desperate to get in that door before 4 p.m.
And even with today's Flex Alert, we're too late to help some of our East Coast podcasters. God help them.
They're already out there in the midst.
You could play
Middle of it all.
You could play Don't Stop Believing if you want, Case. It's another good one for tonight.
There'll be a chorus singing. I love this song so much.
One of the other things I like to remind people of in these situations is think about your friends from high school. They're terrible people. There's a reason.
Dude, best friends.
Yeah.
Friends I've had for my entire life.
There's a reason you guys aren't friends anymore. There's a reason that there's one night a year that people struggle with for a month before and a month after that you may or may not see them. And that's because you and your friends in high school sucked. It's nothing against you and your friends in high school. How do I know? How do I know?
How do you know?
Because I sucked, and so did my friends in high school. And if you were my friend in high school and you're like, oh, I'm hurt, you should be. We all sucked. It's time we told the truth to ourselves and each other.
There's people yelling at the radio right now. What do you know? What do you know, man? I was it in high school. I got laid all the time.
Yeah, well.
It was great. It was amazing.
You're a goddamn liar.
I got the Facebook likes to prove it.
It was the worst. I remember on one of these nights, I leaned in all sweaty at some bar and tried to kiss Corey Sorensen in her big face, and she pushed me away.
Oh!
She could have breastfed all of South Bay, too. Anyway, the point is this. Your friends, they all sucked. And you suck, too. And there's no need to rekindle that. Your best chance is just to be better as an older person. Be better. Now, Matt, the question always comes around at this point. How? How do I resist the temptation? Because it's one thing.
See, now this is dangerous. Back when you started this, you were talking about taking maybe a $40 to $60 hit. It wasn't that big of a deal.
Or I have a workaround.
Okay.
But how do we resist temptation, man? How do we do it? How do we tie ourselves to the mast like,
no technology.
Like Odysseus and hear the siren song of the sirens and not wreck on the rocks of a hangover on Thanksgiving Day?
You must avoid technology. Stay away from Facebook. Stay off the Snapchat. Stay away from the gram.
But how does one do so, Matt? How does one resist?
You know, self-discipline is not going to work.
A lot of people talk a lot of ass during the day. They get all puffed up when the sun's out. But that sun goes down and loneliness sets in. And the possibility of the night, the wild night comes calling. And what do? My advice is always this. And, you know, I don't know how much a phone goes for nowadays, $1,000, probably worth it.
To throw it
I'm not saying you should.
Throw it in the toilet.
Sink it in the toilet. Definitely sink the landline in the toilet. And if you're worried about your phone, put it in a plastic bag and like shoot it like a basketball hoop into the toilet so you can't go get it until you're sobered up. Or put it in the top part.
Not a bad idea.
In the tank.
Or call a stranger. Ask them to come into your house and hide it.
Hide the phone.
That way tomorrow.
Put it on mute.
There you go. Tomorrow.
Just find a way to ditch your phone and your computer. Well, you know, yeah.
It's not easy.
It's not easy, but it used to be a lot easier in my time when you just had to sink the landline in the toilet and then just hit the Best Buy the next day for a new landline.
Right.
A new Swatch phone.
Isn't it easier? You can binge watch a show. Like, get Jack Ryan.
No, now you're on your iPad and you get a notification on Facebook that says, Tommy P just posted a new photo.
Tommy P said Johnny P's, and he's topping off.
And it's him with a pitcher in his hand and a broad on his left arm.
There is nothing.
This is amazing.
There is absolutely nothing that can come up tonight that's going to make you feel good about yourself or anybody that you grew up with. Spend time with your family on Thanksgiving. That is what we're all supposed to do.
Exactly right.
That's the truth.
If you go chase your high school glory. Now, look, there is one caveat. If you're Teen Wolf. Like, if you turned into a wolf and dunked on everybody's ass, I'd go waving around.
Okay.
Remember me? I was the guy that turned into a werewolf right in the middle of high school, and the ref didn't even call a foul.
But outside
and
of that,
I just freaking dunked it after going backcourt twice.
What if you're Styles? What if you're the wolf's best friend?
Yeah.
Okay, but that's it.
Because that's a phenomenon. Like, when did we ever see that before or after?
Right.
A wolf.
You'll always be celebrating.
Winning the state championship.
Hey, it's the wolf.
Other than wolf, if you're not Teen Wolf, stay out of the bars, everybody. Stay out of the effing bars. Keep
sage advice.
Gold bricking ass. Out of the bars. All of you. Have some dignity.
And happy Thanksgiving.
Drive safely tonight, everybody. Due to a derailment.